The first section of this module is about test planning. Now, whether you're doing a reliability test or just a simple experiment, it does take some forethought to find out, if nothing else, what is it you're evaluating and what are you collecting the right information in order to make a conclusion. Hypothesis tests come to mind predominantly for me. But whatever it is it, especially for reliability testing, it tends to take some extra work up front in order to have a satisfactory outcome as you finish the testing. Now, the purpose of the testing is something that you really do need to keep in mind as you set about doing the test. It's not sufficient just to be told, oh, go run a reliability test. Here's the product. Well, what stresses? What are you trying to achieve? Who's going to make a decision? What's the timeline? And so on. When I was first starting I was originally a manufacturing engineer at a factory, and we were making heating cables. And my boss came in one day and asked if I would figure out how long this heating cable, it's a new design, was going to last. And the expectation was that it would last for 20 years. It would provide heat for 20 years. So we knew how it would fail and that it would eventually fail. It's just a matter of would it last long enough. And so the thought was, let's go put it in its application for 20 years and use that as a test. It would take us 20 years to accomplish, maybe longer. Well, my boss very quickly corrected that line of reasoning and said, that would work, except we want an answer 6 months from now when we have to decide to start manufacturing or not. So what I want you to do is figure out when it will fail in the future. And the basic question was, will it last long enough? Will it have a low enough failure rate out long enough for us to make it a viable product? So the purpose was relatively clear, and he started to talk about some of the constraints, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But that same test, that with my very first accelerated life test, one of the things that we did is we used a secondary feature to what we commonly call the Arrhenius acceleration factor, or Arrhenius law. Well, Arrhenius was a chemist and actually came up with an equation that described the relationship between temperature and the rate of reaction. He also had in that equation the amount of reactants, for example, how much oxygen was available to react. And if you increase the amount of the reactive elements, then the rate of reaction would increase also. So one of the things we did is we needed a pressure vessel in order to increase the amount of reactants and keep it under control. So just increasing the pressure was the approach to just increase the number of atoms and molecules available. But we had to do that inside of a very special device. And it was funny because this was some time ago, and the catalog we ordered it from listed it, and the shipping label included the listing as a bomb, B-O-M-B, so many liters. And so we had to take certain precautions in order to actually run the test. So as you do the planning for your test, is what equipment do you need? What items do you need? But it also involves, how many samples do you need? The statistics and how good of an answer do you actually require? And what is it you're measuring? What's the function? The environment, in my case, it was a temperature environment, and it was pretty static temperature, so it was pretty easy to characterize that. We had some pretty good information on that. And then how good is good enough? Well, my boss wanted the equation. What's the relationship between stress and time to failure? And what's the entire Weibull distribution, for example, for the time to failure at use temperatures? But we also could have used this information from a safety point of view, especially if you have something that fails unsafely, is you want to understand how its ramification from failure rates are. But also then, if you're testing it to failure, well, you need to account for its adverse failure characteristics. It's a fancy way of saying, in some cases, it might catch on fire. So the planning involved quite a few different things, and we'll talk more in details about a lot of this stuff. So planning is all kinds of different elements, and some of the things that trigger whether we do planning is something I call red flags. Is it a new technology, new vendor, new application, new environment, a new design team, for example? Are they not familiar with this particular set of technology? All of those things may require us to think about, well, how much information do we need to gain from our particular testing? Now, there's all kinds of things we do about how much we invest in doing a test versus how rigorous that test is going to be versus, well, how important is the answer? If we just need a benchtop, yeah, it looks like it's going to work and it's not a critical element or anything else, that might suffice. One of the life tests I was asked to do was to help use for a new technology, but it was going into a product line that particular model was expected to contribute about $50 million to the company's revenue. So it was a major decision if we're in the technology enabled us to add some pretty unique new features and form factor to the product. So if that didn't work, if it wasn't going to last long enough, then we would have to find another solution for the product and it would probably kill the project. So it was a go-no decision for a $50 million product line. It's pretty important. It doesn't mean I get to spend $50 million running an extensive test, but it did give me an upper boundary that was much higher than in many other types of tests that I've run. So do you do testing? Do you get to break things in your lab or on the bench or wherever? It is the fun part, I think, of reliability engineering. And in this module, we'll talk about all kinds of different kinds of testing, different types of testing, many of which I'm sure that if you're doing testing, you may be familiar with. Unfortunately, we've got lots of different names for things that we all may call something differently or the same thing when you have different meanings for you. So I'm using a fairly common set of definitions for all these different tests, but we'll get into that in the next section.